Think so. We believe. Well, a couple years ago, I guess time has been away from me, but we got introduced. Actually, Stephanie and Monica went to some event, and at this event, this young man by the name of Ricky Hauser was singing, and they met him, and we was getting ready to have that fall festival later on that year. Stephanie called me up and she said, "Dad, I think I found the a good person to come and to sing for us at the fall festival." And I said, "Okay, who's this?" He said, "Well, his name is Ricky Hauser." I said, "Mom and I just heard him sing. He said he can do gospel or old music, or you know, he can sing any genre of music that you want him to sing." He said, "I think he would really do a good job." I said, "Well, good." She said, "We got one of his business cards." So anyway, we set it up for him to come, and about, oh, 2 or 3 weeks before this event was going to take place that fall of the year, I usually like to hear somebody before I, even though Monica and Steph had already heard him.
He didn't trust me.
So one Sunday night, about 2 or 3 weeks before he was coming here, he was singing at a church over here, Ricky was. And so Monica and I decided to go over there, and they had a little dinner, and so we sat down at dinner. Here comes this kid flying through the door with a pair of blue jean shorts on and an old t-shirt on, and just flops down there and starts eating.
I don't even own blue jean shorts.
This is my story. So anyway, I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't know who this kid is or how he was raised, but I kept thinking, where's Ricky Hauser? Where's this young man? The guy was sitting there eating right there in front of me, didn't even know who he was. You know? So anyway, he finally says, an older lady at that time that was real close to him, who bless her heart has since gone on to be with the Lord, but called him Ricky. And I said, "Are you Ricky Hauser?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm Roger Hodge. I'm Pastor Cole Baptist Church." I said, "I'm coming to hear you tonight because you're coming to our place in 2 or 3 weeks." He said, Oh. Yeah, he said, "Man, I don't like preachers." And that's how our relationship got started, you see. And but that night, if anything could go wrong for this young man, it went wrong. I am telling the truth now. I mean, it went wrong, you know. But we saw in him just something. He has a heart and a talent, but he couldn't get the sound system to work right. And finally, he got so frustrated at whatever was going on, he just went over to the piano. And just, his show was in shambles, and he just went to the piano and just decided to sit at the piano and sing. Now, impromptu wasn't what he was supposed to do, but he sat there for 30 minutes on that piano, and I mean people come alive. And I knew then if this young man could think on his feet like that, this was a cool guy. Now, since then, we've got to know him real, real well, and we basically adopted him. And he come into our family, and what scares him is he fits right in. So that scares him to death. But he since graduated from UofL and moved back to Pennsylvania, where he's from. He's right now, he's one of the lead actors in a theater group there in Pennsylvania, and involved in his home church back there. And then here recently, he met a young lady by the name of Kimberly, and has brought her around a couple of times to us so that we could meet her, and she is just a doll, good Christian young lady, and we are just so thrilled to get to meet her. So anyway, he's been in for a few days, going back home today. But anyway, I did invite him to come and to sing a couple of songs. He is a part of our family, loves our little church, and we think the world and all of him. His name is Ricky Hauser. Give him a hand of applause.
Thank you.
are going through a time of struggle that you can resort back to in the book of Isaiah, and I use that a lot. But I think that one of the more profound things to me than the growth of my own faith is that no matter where my faith stands in God, that His does not waver. And I think about, you know, that as I grow as a Christian in my walk, and even as Kimberly and I walk together and we grow in our faith as a couple, it's just amazing to think that, you know, our faith is growing day by day, and we can see it in each other, and I can see it in her, and I can see it in myself, that I've become more and more faithful to God. But what's astonishing to me is that His faithfulness was already 100% when I started out, before I even, you know, believed the way that I believe now. His faithfulness was true and was steadfast before I even got to the point that I'm at now. And that's what gives me hope, and that's the entire reason that we are to wait on Him and rest assured and have hope in the Lord, is because it's always there. His faithfulness in us is always there, like the song says, "Great is Thy faithfulness." And so I was going to do another song, but I just feel led to do this one instead, because apparently God is ministering to somebody today with this song. So I pray that this touches you. This is really one of my favorite songs.
Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught.
Well, pretty decent, huh? You know that song? Give Ricky one more hand of applause. You know, I'm going to do something just a little impromptu as well. Since Ricky can change, I think what he was going to do that last song was How Great Thou Art, which we all know that song. We all love that song. But It Is Well With My Soul is a very good testimonial song. And so, Larry, let's don't put the scripture up like what we're going to. I'm going to change things here just a little bit. In the last couple of months, I have seen some tremendous suffering going on by a lot of people and a lot of families. And I've seen people to the close of almost giving up on God. In the last days in which we live, our men's Sunday school class just finished up the study of Revelation. God's Word talks about how Satan in the very last days is coming after God's people with everything. And he's going to come after you. He's going to come after me. He's going to find out where we're the weakest. And he's going to try to hit you exactly where you are the weakest at. And believe me, we're all blood and flesh here. Nobody here perfect. Everybody here got weaknesses. Not to say that we're all not Christian people. Not to say that we're all not growing in the Lord. But Satan is at an all-time pitch to knock you out. And here's what frustrates me. I see Satan winning. And that's just the truth. Maybe not so much in your life, but maybe he is. Because let me tell you how Satan can win, and listen to me very closely. At the very moment you take your eyes off of Jesus, Satan will win. Now, how do you do that? How do you take your eyes off of Jesus? From the time you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you're focused on the fact that he died for you. You're focused on the fact that according to God's Word, he came born of a virgin. And that's important that you believe that. Man had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. Now, he had a sweet mother, and that was simply the reason so that he could become flesh. And there's a reason why God became flesh. It's because God, the Son, had become sacrifice for God the Father. You can't die until you're part of the flesh. You can't be a sacrifice unless you're alive. Because to sacrifice something means you kill something for a benefit. With me so far? That's why Jesus had to come. And he had to do it for you and for me. Now we all know we didn't live during that time. We didn't see it. Hey, there's something called a Bible that tells you that. And if you study this, and study it good, you'll find out that not only was Jesus born of a virgin, but he had a fairly normal childhood. Now let me tell you something. He didn't come in this world rich. He came in this world about as normal as could be. Now, he was not a normal child, by no stretch of the imagination. And although the New Testament doesn't tell us a whole lot about his childhood, but it tells us enough to know he was not a normal child, but he came in the world a normal way. this mission begins. And this is when you and I get to study his life. And if there's one thing that I have enjoyed about this Gospel of John that I've been preaching out of, is the Gospel of John takes individual people and points them, and Jesus deals with them. Like Nicodemus. You don't hear about Nicodemus nowhere else but in the Gospel of John. And this was a smart man. Smart man. Sent by the Pharisees and the Sadducees to go and to discuss with Jesus what he's all about. So they sent the professor, if you will, the smartest man, one of the smartest men on the planet, to Jesus to pick his brain. And I love this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Now Jesus could see him coming a mile away. He comes in. Nicodemus says, we can tell that you are a powerful man and a good man because of everything that you've done. And Jesus basically just stops him right there and says, you know what, Nicodemus? You need to be born again. Now Nicodemus had never heard this phrase before. What do you mean be born again? He said, wait a minute, what do you mean by that? I'm an old man. Well, you expect me to go back into my mother? His mother probably put him alive. He said, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? He said, Nicodemus, that's your problem. You're thinking with the mind. I'm talking to you through the spirit. See, I'm not talking about going back through your mother's womb. I'm talking about you yourself need to be changed and born into the Spirit. Later on, we find out that Nicodemus took that to heart and was literally saved. But that's just one example. What I was going to show you up on Scripture here in a minute, and you'll remember this story. Peter was a piece of work. If you've ever studied the life of Peter, this guy was a character. Now, during the time he was with Jesus, he was a handful for Jesus. I mean, believe me, Jesus had to keep one eye on Peter at all times. Now, from Acts on, Peter changes. He becomes the leader of the church and one powerful witness and preacher for Jesus Christ. But during the Gospels, he was a handful. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He stayed in trouble all the time. And Jesus just had his hands full with Peter. But just one particular time in the Garden of Gethsemane, he just got through praying because he knew he was getting ready to go to the cross. He takes his men, and all of a sudden, Judas, one of his own, decides to turn him in. Goes against the guards. Brings the guards to this particular place where Jesus was at because Jesus loved this garden. He went there quite often. And pointed Jesus out to these guards. And they went to arrest him. And you know the story. Jesus said, who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, here I am. He didn't run from these people. Did he? He didn't run from them. Didn't bow down to them. He said, here I am. Remember what Peter did? Peter drew his sword. What did he do? Cut the ear off of one of the soldiers. Now you would think Jesus would say, oh, Peter, wait, go. No. He turned around to Peter and he said, you put that sword back up, young man. I didn't ask you to do this. You put it back up and you shut up. Don't you stop me from going to the cross because this is what I come to do. You remember what Jesus did? He held that soldier's ear. And the same soldier's just going to put him on the cross. See, you get this throughout the New Testament of what Jesus is all about. You get this. See, Jesus has a calling and a mission. And it's throughout God's word of what that is. And he wasn't trying to be harsh to Peter. Peter was just trying to protect him. And hey, don't put nobody else through the sword. You got to give Peter credit. The same time he went to walk on the water. You remember that story, don't you? Here, Jesus has come across. The disciples are in the ship, in the boat. And the storm's coming up, and they're trying to get across the Sea of Galilee there. And they look up, and they think they see something. They don't know what it is. And Jesus says something, and they recognize his voice. And he could tell they were scared. Now, this wasn't no big boat they was in. And the waves were tall. They're getting thrown every which way. And Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, that's neat what you're doing. Can I come out there?" There wasn't none of the rest of them dumb enough to say that. Huh? Isn't that right? "Hey, can I come out there and join you?" Now, Jesus sees this as an opportunity. Now, he could have said, "Peter, you need to stay in the boat." That's what he said, was it? He said, "Well, come on. Get out here with me." Peter steps out, and for a moment in time, he's walking on water. Nobody else walking on water, but Jesus and Peter. Peter did one thing. Eyes off of Jesus and looked at the storm. And what happens? He begins to walk. Sink. Now, as he's sinking, he's getting scared. Now, all of a sudden, he looks back to Jesus. And Jesus reaches out to Peter and grabs him. Walks him on the water back to the boat. They both get in the boat and the storm calms down. Now we can all have fun with Peter and say, "Man, I'm telling you, what a dummy. What a dummy." But I tell you what, when I see this, he's on like an outboard. Huh? Rest up in that boat. Oh yeah. You almost drowned. But let me tell you this. He's the only one who walked on the water, Jesus. Now, is there a lesson to be learned here? Well, sure there is. Peter learned a big time lesson. But I'll tell you something else. I think when Jesus got him back in that boat, I think he said, "There you, Peter. When the rest of them got out of there." Maybe they were scared. Maybe they didn't have enough faith. Maybe they had more sense of Peter. You can put it any way you want to. But I'll tell you this. Life throws us experiences, folks. And sometimes life is not full of good experiences. But I say this all the time to my family. If you learn from your mistakes, it's not a mistake. That was not a mistake why Peter got out of the boat. Because believe me, he learned to turn around and put his eyes back on Jesus. And I guarantee you that served him well for the rest of his life. Because because he had a testimony, and his testimony was, I got out of the boat, I walked on the water with Jesus. Yeah, I like to have drowned, but Jesus was not going to let me drown. He reached out to me, and he pulled me back up and put me back in the boat. That's the Jesus I serve. Sometimes, folks, you've got to get out of the boat. Sometimes you've got to exercise your faith. It doesn't mean it's all going to go well, because it's not. Because the moment you take your eyes off of Jesus, life can change in the snap of a finger. And what worries me is we got a world full of people who are taking their eyes off of Jesus. You got your eyes on everything on this planet but Jesus. You see it in your family, I see it in mine, not only in this church, but every other church. And I'm here to tell you, when that trumpet sounds, one of these days, and we meet him in the air, there are going to be some people who have been left behind that's going to wish they had truly kept their eyes on Jesus. The world in which we live owes you nothing. Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy your family. Here is my main advice to you, if you watch me, man, and if you listen very closely. Every day that you get up, put your eyes on Jesus. If you don't, you're going to drown. We've got people that are drowning today in their own selfless sin because they refuse to put their eyes back on Jesus. That is the gospel truth that you take to the bank. Let one little thing go wrong and they want to blame God. I say this all the time, and you know that I say it. Don't run from God. Run to God. I don't know, to be honest with you, I say it, and when I say that, I always come out with this. I don't know how you run from God. How do you run from God without running into him? Because he's going to teach you a lesson. Everybody here within the sound of my voice and watching me by internet, God has taught them a lesson on some level. Because life is full of lessons. And God has a way of allowing things to happen to teach us. Ultimately get our attention. Listen to me closely. My time is running out. As I said at Michael's funeral Monday, now let me tell you something very, very sweet. Sweet young man at the funeral that I did this past week. A young man who struggled all of his entire life from time to time. Had the privilege of baptizing him here many, many years ago. Every time I was around this young man, he always had a smile. And I know he had bad days, and you know, like all of us. But don't get bitter about life. Let me tell you something that's contagious. You will take everybody down with you, and then you're going to answer for that.
Amen.
No matter what's going on in your day, find some happiness, find something good in it. Stop for the moment, take a deep breath, and say, God, Satan's trying to come to me with everything he's got. I need your grace. It's this young man, this son of God. I need your grace today. I need your presence. I need your help. And I promise you, you will feel his presence come over you. Protect you if that's what you need. Change you if that's what you need. But you will know that God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, is the best friend you've got when you live for God. Give the Lord a hand on my hand. If there truly be one here today that's lost, Father, may they come and give their life to Jesus. This is today. No one is promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. If someone needs a quiet time to dissolve your Father, I pray and allow them to come. If they need me to pray for them, Father, come and let me pray for them. Father, your presence is in this place. And we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name.